Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Two major victories in Florida regarding the so-called LGBT agenda with respect to so-called gender identity. Both defeats, both good victories for the family. Both are encouraging signs that when the people and when pastors get together and stand up, we can collectively make a positive difference. We're going to be talking about Palm Bay, Florida, and Jacksonville, Florida, on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com. Matt, let's begin with Palm Bay, Florida. Palm Bay, Florida is on the East Coast, and it is about halfway down Florida on the East Coast. There was a meeting 6.5 hours from 7 o'clock until 1:30 a.m. with more than 80 speakers, including pastors representing a wide group of denominations from Anglican to Evangelical and everything in between. They were there. Overwhelming opposition was shown to this ordinance. It was a so-called LGBT ordinance that would have added sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression to its so-called non-discrimination policy that applies to employment and public accommodations, including, get this, churches, religious organizations, and businesses. By a 4-1 vote, it was rejected. Overwhelming opposition from the community.
Well, the so-called progressive left is so good, Matt, at engaging in euphemistic language and propaganda and Orwellian, you know, doublespeak. They call this a sexual orientation and gender identity code or bill or but that's not what they really are. What they really are is anti-religious freedom bills or legislation or acts or that they're trying to pass here. And so that the whole point of this was to, again, as the left always does, is to try to force people with traditional values, with biblical values, with objective, who embrace objective morality, that marriage and sexual behavior is only appropriate between a man and a woman within the bonds of marriage. If you hold that, including if you were a church, you would have to, cast that aside, a millennia of sexual morality, and embrace a postmodern view that anything goes, that morality is relative, and that even a person's objective binary, sex, either male or female, that is subjective, which is just absurd. So this is a great victory.
Well, I was really glad to see so many pastors show up. And Pastor David Myers, one of our good friends and was a former co-host on our Law and Justice TV program that we used to do, and went to law school with my wife, Anita. He's also a pastor. He was one of the people that showed up. We had sent a memo for Liberty Counsel. David Myers, the pastor, read or referred to that memo. One of the city council members referred to that memo as well. So many pastors, so many people showed up. They were there faithfully until 1:30 a.m. in the morning. These are people that have other things that they do during the day. They were there from 7 o'clock at night till 1:30 in the morning, lined up speaker after speaker after speaker. There was about 1,000 people there, packed into the chamber, into the hall, into the overflow room. Overwhelming opposition. So when the people stand up, when pastors stand up, there can be a good difference. Now, here's one of the kickers here, that this ordinance would have applied to churches. There was no exemption for churches. And it was only at the very end of the debate that they said, maybe we'll accept an opt-out for churches, an exemption for churches. Well, they weren't going to buy that either, because Pastor David Myers got up there and said, well, even if you opt out churches, it's still going to apply to Christian business owners, people who are members of my church. So how can the church just simply be opted out when our members have to be forced into this? Now, this particular so-called gender identity and gender expression, what is that? That means whatever is in your mind, that's what you can be. If you're biologically, undeniably male, but you want to be female in your thinking, well, then you ought to be treated as female in your thinking. And consequently, you should be able to use the women's restroom, the women's shower room, the women's locker room, and you go on and on and on. It's going to be absurdity, placing young girls and young women and women of all ages at risk. This would apply to every department store, every changing room, every church, every religious organization, every business. Fortunately, it was beat back. On the same night, we also had the situation in Jacksonville, Florida, with the same kind of ordinance there that also got torpedoed, stopped in its tracks after several hearings.
And there's an added element, too. These ordinances in Jacksonville, you mentioned, this would have granted enormous power to the Jacksonville Human Rights Commission. These are these kind of extra legal star chambers, you know, these kangaroo courts that are created in order to circumvent due process so that they can go after organizations, Christian organizations, churches in this case. And, you know, and you mentioned, Matt, the changing facilities and this would have forced, for instance, if a private health club owner says, you know, look, we have the showering facilities where we have a lot of young preteen and teenage girls that come here that work out here and they shower. This would say, nope, if a man, a fully biological man, just today says, well, I think my gender identity is I'm female. And he says, I'm going to go in and I'm going to shower a full anatomically biological male, walks in with a bunch of 12-year-old girls into the showers fully naked, and they scream and complain, and the parents are upset, and they threaten to sue the business owner. And well, if the business owner says, no, we've got to close our locker rooms to keep potential sexual predators, men, out of the locker rooms, this ordinance would have said, no, we're here to protect the pervert, the man who wants to walk in and shower with 12-year-old girls, instead of protecting the 12-year-old girls. And fortunately, people are finally starting to wake up to the reality that's exactly what these so-called sexual orientation and gender identity bills do.
Yes, in addition to a memo to Jacksonville, our senior litigation counsel, Roger Ganim, also appeared. He actually was part of the committee that was formed by the city, and he has testified several times on this particular ordinance. And you had a lot of people there, pastors and community support opposing this particular bill, this ordinance. It will come up again and again. So we're glad that at least at this point in time, we've been able to keep this at bay, but we can't rest. Because it's going to come up again in Palm Bay, I'm sure. It's going to come up again in Jacksonville. We're going to be there every single time it comes up. Also, good news is that just a few days after these went down in flames, or certainly got derailed, you also had the Florida legislature in the Florida Judiciary Committee. They ultimately blocked a bill, or they didn't pass on a bill, that would have put this in the state law. Now, unbelievably, the vote was tied, meaning it didn't come out of committee. I can't understand how anyone would want a vote in any respect to put gender identity into any non-discrimination law. It's just absolutely absurd. How can you choose your gender by virtue of a flip of your switch in your mind? One day you're male, one day you're female, vice versa. It makes absolutely no logical sense. It's an absolute defiance of reality. I think it's absolute rebellion against who you are, created in the image of God, and thus it's a rebellion against how God created you as male and female.
Well, these sexual orientation bills do exactly what they purport to protect, and that's they discriminate. They call them non-discrimination bills. They discriminate against people based on their religious beliefs.
Well, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. The Awakening 2016 is coming up March the 5th. We have a breakout panel called Gender Confusion, Setting the Record Straight. We have some great individuals on that panel. One of the people on the panel is Walt Heyer. Walt Heyer was someone who was born male, went through the so-called sex change surgery, which is plastic surgery and hormones, that's all it is, became a Christian, and then regretted that and went back the other way. So he's going to be on the panel along with others, Greg Quinlan. Greg Quinlan was in the homosexual lifestyle, actually lobbied for the Human Rights Campaign, worked for them in Washington, D.C. He's going to be on the panel, along with Janet Boynes. Janet Boynes is an African-American female, was in the lesbian lifestyle, became a Christian through the power of Jesus Christ, changed and left that lifestyle. You're going to be moderating that, Matt. We're going to have lots of other speakers at the Awakening. We have Planned Parenthood, ISIS, Israel, Iran in the Middle East, the issue of what happens when the state laws conflict with God's laws, and much, much more. Don't miss the Awakening. Go to lc.org.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.